Thank you. On a slightly more related topic, I'm going to talk today about how herbivory alters leaf level heterogeneity in photosynthesis and transpiration within the context of climate change. It's well established in the literature that photosynthesis is impaired differently depending on which feeding guild is attacking the plant. So if we take a look at the study that looked at, it surveyed 11 species of hardwood trees from an eastern deciduous forest. We see some representative images from that study. On the left, you see visual images over here. And on the right, you have false color images showing 5PS2, which essentially is a measure of the electron transport through photosystem 2, which is an indication of photosynthetic efficiency. For these images, which you'll see throughout the rest of the talk, blue indicates high photosynthetic efficiency. And as you decrease in efficiency, you get into the warmer colors. So the interesting take-home message from this study was that the visual damage shows a slightly necrotic wound. However, the actual damage to the leaf propagated at some distance from that visual damage. And you can see here that the propagation varies depending on which feeding guild we're looking at. So in this first set of images, we have a fungal pathogen, and there's quite some distance of propagation into photosynthesis. If we look at this snippet gall, we see that there's also quite a halo of reduced photosynthetic capacity within this leaf. And then finally, if we look at foliation damage, we see that there's not very much damage to photosynthesis, and that it's restricted almost entirely to the leaf edge where the insect fed. Overall, there was a reduction in photosynthesis across all damage types, but more so for the fungal and gall damage classes. And this was mirrored also by in how far that propagation went into healthy tissue. You can see for defoliation damage that the chewing herbivory results in approximately plus or minus 1 millimeter of damage. However, fungal and gall damage can lead up to 3 to 4 millimeters of damage into healthy tissue. Another interesting result from this study was the change in temperature. We can see that both chewing and fungal damage increased leaf temperature, likely because of disruption of the vasculature, which we measured by a reduction in transpiration. However, gall feeding damage enhanced transpiration is indicated by these cooler temperatures, likely because of the sink relationship developing from the developing tissues and the developing insect. So we see that herbivory alters primary metabolism by modifying these component processes of photosynthesis, including electron transport and water balance. And we're also aware that changing climate alters ecosystem processes, beginning with this initial flux of carbon from photosynthesis. So that led me to hypothesize that if elevated CO2 enhances photosynthesis, yet herbivory generally impairs plant primary metabolism, then the impact of herbivory under elevated CO2 will be reduced by this atmospheric fertilization effect. To test this hypothesis, I went to northern Wisconsin, where there's a hardwood ecosystem consisting of populous aspen, birch, and maple trees. And this site employs FACE technology, or free air CO2 enrichment. So within each ring, there is a fumigation treatment of either elevated CO2, elevated ozone, a combination of the two, or an ambient treatment. For my study, I only looked at how elevated CO2 compared to ambient, so I only looked at 6 of these rings. Within each ring, I looked at 4 damage types across 2 tree species. For aspen trees, I looked at a Harmandia gall species, which you can see over here on the right. It's a Cicidomyia gall. I looked at a sawfly leaf fold, which folds the leaf edge. Defoliation damage of unknown time and origin, and undamaged control leaves. For birch, I only looked at defoliation damage of unknown time and origin, and undamaged control leaves. Then, in a side study, I infested aspen leaves with gypsum moss that let them feed for 24 hours to have some sort of reference point of known damage type and origin. All branchlets were severed from the upper canopy of these rings and transferred to a field lab less than 15 minutes away, where they were again recut underwater to prevent embolism in the xylem and ensure proper transpiration flow. These are the images you'll see in the remaining talk. The images on the left are thermal images. Approximately 4 pixels in each of these images equates to 1 millimeter, and cooler colors represent cooler temperatures. In the images of fluorescence or photosynthetic efficiency, because of the higher resolution of the camera, approximately 19 pixels equates to 1 millimeter, and cooler colors indicate a higher level of photosynthetic efficiency. For my image analysis, I took both the thermal and the fluorescence images and standardized them to a visual image of known area. For example, this is a thermal image of a leaf with a gall on it. And you can see that here the distance of the gall is approximately 30 pixels. And where that gall ends and where the leaf returns to steady state is the distance of the propagation that we calculated. So we did this for both thermal and fluorescence images. And you can see for this particular leaf that the gall was 20 degrees Celsius and the rest of the leaf was approximately 2 degrees warmer. And there was a propagation effect of a reduction in temperature of about 2 millimeters. So if we turn to the results, for the 24-hour defoliation damage, there was an overall reduction in photosynthetic efficiency of about 15%. Why is this? If we take a closer look at the thermal images, we see that there's a dramatic reduction in temperature adjacent to where the insects fed, and this reduction in temperature went for about 4 millimeters into the tissue, regardless of whether it was a CO2 leaf or a leaf from an ambient treatment. That there's just a dramatic reduction in temperature implies there's profligate water loss from the leaf, where essentially the leaf is bleeding water to its environment. And this causes a transient water stress within the tissues, which then reduces photosynthesis. And you can see from the fluorescence image here that there is a small propagation of reduced photosynthetic efficiency resulting from where the insect fed. Similar to other published data, this damage distance was only about 1 millimeter into the leaf. However, we were able to resolve a CO2 effect in that elevated CO2 reduced the distance of damage into the leaf compared to ambient tissues. When you expose leaves to elevated CO2, you tend to decrease the mild aperture, which increases leaf level water use efficiency. So then if you impose a water stress on a leaf that already is operating at a higher level of water use efficiency, the damage to the component processes is likely less, which is what we see here. If we compare the 24-hour defoliation damage to old defoliation damage, we see there's a reduction in photosynthetic efficiency of about 10%, so it's a little bit less. There is no temperature effect. There's no propagation of temperature indicating that the tissues are no longer bleeding water. They've likely lignified. But we were able to resolve a reduction in the photosynthetic efficiency of up to a little bit less than 1 millimeter for both aspen and birch species. We weren't not able to resolve a CO2 effect in aspen trees, but that we were able to resolve the elevated CO2 reduce the distance of damage in birch trees. This implies there's likely some species-specific response and an interaction with both the time and origin of damage, since aspen trees previously showed that there was a reduction in efficiency after 24 hours of feeding damage. And this is probably the most interesting story that came out of this. Gall damage overall reduced photosynthetic efficiency approximately 10%, as you can see over here. However, there was no propagation into adjacent tissue compared to other systems. But the most interesting result here is the dramatic reduction in temperature from between the gall compared to the remaining leaf tissue. In ambient leaves, the gall was approximately 1.5 degrees cooler than remaining leaf tissue. However, under elevated conditions, there were that the gall was only about 1 degree cooler. That elevated CO2 reduced the cooling effect of galls, implies that there's some sort of regulatory function for us to model in this galler-host relationship, and we're still working to see what that sort of mechanism is. So in To summarize, elevated CO2 alters the model function. Overall, the increased leaf temperature due to reduced model aperture, and an increase in leaf temperature may lead to more favorable microclimates for insects living either within the boundary layer of the leaf, like aphids or other small heteropterans, or insects living within the leaf itself, like galling insects. From the plant's point of view, this elevated CO2 reduced photosynthetic damage, but at a time and species-specific manner. And elevated CO2 also modulated the cooling effects of galls, but we're still resolving the mechanism for this. And with that, I'd like to thank particularly my advisor, Evan DeLucia, some fellow collaborators at Wisconsin, and then some funding sources. So if you have any questions, I'll take them now.